Where's the wheel?
Yeah, I can only hear me.
Yeah, I'm finished on the seat, that's fine.
Please.
Matt.
I can't do it unless I've got less of Daryl in my mix. I need black dots. If you give me black dots, then I'm fine. But a letter doesn't work for me.
Good morning, welcome to Enfield Town Community Church. Our verse for the year this year is John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that's right, I'm done. It's good, I'm done. Here it is. Here's my question. Is being part of church or belonging to church more like going to the cinema or more like playing for a sports team? Okay, that's something to think about. Is it more like going to the cinema or is it more like belonging to a sports team? Now let's think about those for a moment. When you go to the cinema, you go along, you pay your money, you sit down, and you consume the movie. You enjoy it, you watch it, and you eat your popcorn, and then you go home, and you may say to a few people on the way out, oh, that was a good film, wasn't it? And then you go home, and that's it. Is that what being a Christian is like? Is that what belonging to church is like? Or think about playing for a sports team. If you play for a sports team, everyone's involved, aren't they? Everybody's participating. Everybody's got something to do. There's no spectators, are there? Well, there are actually in some sports, but you know what I mean. When you're playing for the team, you're not a spectator, you're a participator. You're not consuming, you're contributing. Is that what being a Christian is meant to be like? Is it like going to the cinema, or is it like playing for a sports team? What do you think? Boys and girls, what do you think it should be like? Anyone? No one? Anyone alive today? Good morning. I'm Nathan. I'm one of the pastors of the church. It's great to see you this morning. What do you think it's meant to be like? Come on, grown-ups, join in. What should it be like? Sports team. I think that they were mumbling was a sports team. I hope no one was saying cinema. Actually, that's right. Being a Christian, being part of church, should be a team game. Belonging to church, being a Christian, is a team sport. It should be something where everyone's involved. Everyone's participating. Everyone has something to do, a part to play. Whether you are young here this morning, or whether we're a little bit older here this morning, whether we're a new Christian, or whether we've been a Christian for years and years, being church, belonging to church, is a team sport. It's one where everybody should be involved. Being church together is a team sport. Now, how do we know that? How do I know that? Because there's a little phrase that appears lots of times in the New Testament. Can you say this with me? One another. And we're going to have an action for this. Can you do this? One another. There's this little phrase that appears lots of times in the New Testament. It appears over 100 times. And 59 of those times that it appears are talking about the things that the church, that Christians should be doing. Can you do the action with me? To one another. The things that we should do and sometimes shouldn't be doing to one another. They tell us the things that we are meant to be doing. Now, the New Testament, because it uses this phrase so many times, expects everyone to be involved. Church is not like going to the cinema where you come along and you sit down and you watch the movie and then you go home and you maybe chat to a few people on the way out and you eat your biscuits and you have your coffee. That's not church according to the New Testament. That's part of what we do. But being church, being a Christian, is a team sport. One where everyone is involved. Everyone is, can we do this, is one anothering. They're constantly involved. And so look, here's a little picture to get us thinking about this, okay? Church is a team sport. Church is about one another. And over these next 14 Sundays together, we're going to look at some of those one another instructions in the New Testament to help us as a church family, whether we're younger or older here, to think about what it means to be church. How should we be involved? How should every one of us be involved in being church together? And the very first one that we're going to look at today is found right in the middle of our verse for the year, which is found in John's Gospel and chapter 13. And here's the very first one we're going to think about, okay? And it's this one. Love one another. Can we do this together? We're going to have an action for this. We're going to go love one another. Can we do that? One, two, three. Love one another. And so we're going to get a Bible open and we're going to listen to John's Gospel, chapter 13, and we're going to read the first 17 verses, then we're going to leap over a little bit, and then we're going to read the next bit and see if you can listen out for when Jesus says this command, love one another. Okay, so John chapter 13 and verse 1. Boys and girls, the words will appear up here behind me. Here it is. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And then something happens at the dinner table where Jesus talks about a man named Judas who was going to betray him. And then Judas gets up and he leaves the dinner. And we're going to pick the reading up again at verse 31. And it says this: "When he," that was Judas, "had gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.'" Let's leave it there. Command, boys and girls, did you see it? What was the command? Jesus' command was to love one another. Love one another, a new command. Now, who is Jesus giving this instruction to? Who's he giving it to? William? Wonderful. He's giving this instruction to his disciples. Now, Jesus has lots to say about loving other people, loving our enemies, loving the world. But this instruction is to his disciples. This is to those who believe in him, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the church, and that is us this morning, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, he says to us, can we do it together? Love one another. Now, he's not talking about kind of love, you know, like woo kind of love, you know, where you're going to buy each other boxes of flowers and boxes of flowers? You don't buy boxes of flowers. Boxes of chocolates and bunches of flowers. Don't get relational advice from me, honestly. This doesn't go well. He's not talking about that kind of love, you know, lovey-dovey stuff and like woo, or that kind of thing. He's talking about deep affection for one another, but he's talking here about the actions of love. The way that love shows itself, the way that we prove that we love one another, that we have a deep affection for one another. And Jesus says this command to love one another is a new command. Did you notice that? If you've got the verse for the year, can we have the verse for the year up on screen? There it is. What does he say? Can we read that first bit? "A new command I give you." Now, why is it new? It doesn't sound very new, does it? Surely people loved each other before Jesus sat in that room with his disciples. And the answer is, no, it's not new in the sense that it's a new command, like no one loved each other. Because even in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us to love one another. In fact, in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, the Bible tells us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We're to love. So what's new about this command to love one another? Well, let's have a look at what Jesus goes on to say. What does he go on to say? He says, "As I have loved you, so you must," can you do the action with me? "Love one another." Jesus raises the bar of what it looks like to love one another. It's no longer just love one another as you love yourself, which is pretty hard. No, Jesus goes on to say to the church, to disciples, love one another as Jesus has loved you. Love the person sitting next to you in the same way that Jesus loves that person and has loved the person. You see how the bar's gone up a little bit? And that raises the question, doesn't it? What does it look like to love like Jesus? How has Jesus loved us? Well, let me put it like this morning, okay? This is what we're going to learn. To love like Jesus, to love one another like Jesus, means to serve like Jesus. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Serve like Jesus. And we're going to have an action for that, okay? We're going to go serve like Jesus. Can you do that with me? Serve like Jesus. Fantastic. It means to serve one another in the very same way that the Lord Jesus has served us. Now, let me ask you, boys and girls and grown-ups, are there certain jobs that are just too stinky and too horrible that you would just never want to do them for someone else? Maybe it's that job of emptying the smelly kitchen bin. Anyone had that? So there's a lot of people who live in our house and nobody wants to do this job. Okay, and so what happens is everyone kind of knows it's full, but then they cram the last bit of rubbish in and then slam the lid down so it's not their turn to do it. Okay, that's what happens. And no one wants to change the yucky, stinky kitchen bin. And it starts to bulge and bulge because no one wants to do it. It's too horrible. And everyone's like, ugh, not doing that job. Or maybe it's the dirty pile of washing. You know, perhaps if mum or dad said to you, hey, could you go and get that big pile of stinky washing from upstairs and put it in the washing machine? You're like, ew, no, I'm not doing that. That's horrible. Particularly if it's full of like sweaty, dirty running clothes and things like that. Whoa. Would you want to do that job? It's too horrible, isn't it? Or what about the job of, you know, you're taking a walk in the park, this always happens, doesn't it? Taking a walk in the park, and you step in a dog poo. Oh, who's going to clean the shoe? No one wants to do that job, do they? Any volunteers here? Anyone want to clean the shoe? No, there's a lot of shaking heads. Hey, Andrew, good man, you can do it. So no one wants to do those kind of stinky, smelly jobs, do they? Some jobs are just like, oh, I'm not doing that. That's too low for me to do. But actually, do you know what? Jesus gave this instruction to, can you do it with me? Love one another, having just done a stinky and horrible job for his disciples that no one else wanted to do. See, Jesus gives this instruction when he had just washed his disciples' feet. That's the story that we listened to this morning. Jesus has just served them by doing a job that no one else wanted to do. See, all the disciples had turned up for dinner. They were at a special meal together, the Passover meal. And in that country where they lived, when you walked to dinner, your feet got really dusty and stinky and mucky. And normally when you turned up to dinner in that part of the world, someone would then wash your feet. Now, that was really important because of the way they used to eat dinner. They didn't sit at chairs like we did. They used to lie down. And that means that your feet were in somebody else's face when you ate dinner. Ooh, whoa, extra cheese for dinner. Oh, man. But that's why it was really important that you washed your feet. And so they came to this meal. And on this occasion, there was no one to wash their feet. And nobody wanted to do it. All the disciples sat there thinking, well, I've got dirty feet and you've got dirty feet. But nobody wanted to do the stinky job. No one wanted to empty the kitchen bin. No one wanted to pick up the pile of dirty washing. No one wanted to clean the dog poo shoe. No one wanted to wash the disciples' feet except Jesus. Jesus, the most important person in the room. Jesus, the most powerful person in the room. Got up from the table, he took off his outer clothing, And he got a bowl of water, he got a towel, and he started to go round and do the job that no one else wanted to do. He cleaned his disciples' feet. He got low and he served them. He put others before himself. He put other people's importance before his own importance. Jesus served them. Jesus showed them how much he loved them. And do you know what? Jesus did this act just hours before he was going to do an even greater act of love to show how much he loved them, to show how willing he was to serve them. See, just hours after washing his disciples' feet, Jesus would once again take off his outer garments. Jesus would once again get low and humble himself and do a job that no one else would ever want to do. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross not to wash people, his disciples, from stinky feet, but he went to the cross to wash us clean of all those stains that disobeying God leave upon our life. He went to the cross to wash us clean before a holy God and to wash us clean of all our sin. Jesus served his disciples. Jesus showed how much he loves us, how affectionately he feels for us by serving us, by getting low and doing the job that no one else wants to do. Let me read to you a verse just from a little bit later. If you've got your Bibles, grown-ups, listen into John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus says this, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." That's how much Jesus loved us. That's what Jesus did. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He laid down his life for us. Jesus served his disciples by considering us more valuable than even his own life. And when you understand that that's how Jesus has loved us, that brings a bit of weight, doesn't it, to this command. Can you say this one with me? Love one another. Jesus is saying to us, to you, to me, that we as the church must love one another in the very same way that Jesus has loved us. That very same willingness to serve like he has served us. Will you do that for one another? As we enter 2022, will we do that for one another? Will we do those jobs for one another that no one else wants to do? Will we support someone when it comes at a cost to our own lives, to our own self? When it disrupts your plans? When it spends the money that you'd plan to spend on something else? When it means laying down your life? Or your wants, or your needs, or your diary, or your house, or your money for the sake of someone else. Will you do it? Jesus says to the church, what does he say? Love one another. But love one another as Jesus has loved you. See, grown-ups, if you've got your Bible, and boys and girls, listen into this. In verse 33, look at verse 33 of chapter 13. As Jesus gives this command, what's he just told them? Look at verse 33. "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." This command to love one another comes in the context of Jesus saying he's going away. He's not going to be here in person. He's going somewhere else. And so how does the risen Lord Jesus, ascended to heaven, continue to love his people? It says, disciples, can you say it with me? Love one another. It says we become, as it were, the hands and feet of Jesus in this world to one another. It says we respond to one another in the very same way Jesus would if he was here in person. We become Jesus' hands and feet here on earth. As Jesus goes away, he loves us as we act like that to one another. And so as we enter 2022, my question for us as a church this morning is, will we be a team-playing church? See, when we read this command, love one another, who do you think that's to? You know, is it just to the staff team at church? Well, we pay the staff team to love us. Or is it just to the leaders of my groups or to them? Are they the ones who've got to love us? No. The church is called to love one another. Can you do that with me? They're called to love one another. Will we actively look for ways this year to serve one another in the same way that Jesus has served us? And see, maybe you're here and you're sitting there listening to that and you're thinking, well, that's not my experience of church. That's not my experience of coming to Enfield Town. People don't love me like that. Hey, and listen, if that's true, I'm really sorry that is the case, genuinely. And I'd love to talk to you about that. But also, I just want to put a little challenge out there as well, which is, if that is your experience of church, perhaps the question you're asking is wrong. Let me ask you, who are you loving like that? That's maybe what the Bible would say to us today. You know, I'm genuinely sorry if your experience of church is not being loved. But actually, in that old phrase, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. In the same way of church, you know, sometimes it's best not to ask what the church is doing for me, but what am I doing as a follower of Jesus for other followers? The Bible tells us to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, that's a really good command, and there are lots of people I can think of in the room who I'd love to do that for, but there are some other people that I'd really struggle to do that for. But I want to just say that Jesus is calling us to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And that means that we have to open it up because, you know, why would Jesus love someone like me? But he's included me in his love. And actually, let me just read a quote which I thought was really helpful. But if we're to love like Jesus, listen to what it says. The church is designated as a community which welcomes all people, irrespective of their background, their age, their gender, their color, their moral history, social status, influence, intelligence, religious background, or the lack of it. To love like Jesus is to love inclusively, indiscriminately, and universally. And so if we hear this command, love one another, and we pick who we do that to, then we're not loving like Jesus. Friends, if someone comes into this church and follows the Lord Jesus, the command, inclusively, indiscriminately, is, can you do it with me? To love one another. To serve one another as Jesus has served us. So, are you still with me? You're alive? What's Jesus' command? Jesus says, love one another. And how do we do that? We serve like Jesus. But he also tells us there's something else we need to know about loving one another in this kind of way. And this is it. Jesus says that loving one another shows that we belong to him. Can we do that? 1, 2, 3. Shows that we belong to him. Now listen to what he goes on to say, okay? Let's have a look at our verse for the year, still on the screen. So a new command I give you, love one another. We've seen that. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. But listen to what he goes on to say. By this, by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, some of you will remember this. Anyone remember this? There's about 5 football fans that are nodding yes. So this is the Brazilian footballer, Kaká, if I've said that right. And after winning a very famous game, he ripped off his Brazilian football top, and underneath he had a T-shirt that said, what does it say, boys and girls, can you read that? I belong to Jesus. because he's a Christian and he does belong to Jesus, and he wanted to let everybody know that he belonged to Jesus. And boy, did he let everyone know he belonged to Jesus, because every camera was on him and there was TV was broadcast everywhere. I belong to Jesus. Now, if we as a church want to let everybody know that we belong to Jesus, how could we do it? Well, we could do it in the very same way that Kaka did, didn't we? We could all buy a t-shirt. We could have a little Enfield Town Community Church logo, and we could walk around the streets of Enfield with a t-shirt that says, I belong to Jesus. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be cool. Yeah, maybe we'll work that up. Maybe we won't have verse banners this year. Maybe we'll have t-shirts that say it. That is one way, like Kaka did, that we could show people that we belonged to Jesus. But actually, if you look at our verse for the year, Jesus says there's another way. There's another way that as a church, we can show the world that we are his disciples, that we belong to him, that we've been loved by him. And the way that we do that is, have you guessed, boys and girls, what is it? To love one another. To love one another in the very same way that Jesus has loved us. We are willing, if we are willing to love one another in the same sacrificial, humble way that Jesus has loved us, Jesus says it will show the world that we belong to him. Don't need a t-shirt, although it's a cool thing to do, and it was a big statement. But actually, we show the world by the way that we love one another. There's only one kind of place that kind of love comes from, and it's Jesus himself. You see, showing our love for each other by sacrificially serving one another shows the world that we belong to Jesus. It shows that we follow and we trust the one, and we are now empowered by the one who has loved us in that kind of sacrificial way. Let me tell you a quick story about a man who lived about 150 years after Jesus went back to heaven. His name was Tertullian. It's a cool name, isn't it? Tertullian. And Tertullian lived in kind of a Roman society. And Tertullian was a Christian. And 150 years after Jesus had returned to heaven, the church had started to spread all over the world. And Tertullian started to write down what the world was saying about the church. And he records this. He records that the world saying this. He says, the pagans say, see what love they have for each other. See how they're even willing to die for each other. See, that's what the world, 150 years after Jesus had returned to heaven, that's what the world was saying about the church as they looked on. Behold, see how they love each other. See how they're willing even to die for one another. And it was that love that became like a magnet for the world to run to Jesus, because they say, whoa, if they love one another like that, then who on earth are they following? And they realize that he's following Jesus, the one who loved us and loved us enough to die for us and to forgive us. And if the love that we have for one another was that magnetic back then I want to say to us, church family, young and old, that it still has the same potential to do so today. If it can kind of pull people to Christ back 150 years after Jesus had returned to heaven, then it still has the potential to do so today. A philosopher named Francis Schaeffer said that love is the final apologetic. Love is what displays to the world that we belong to Jesus. One writer puts it like this: our love for one another will be the distinguishing mark of the authenticity that we truly follow Christ. And all I want to say is, as we enter a new year, is could people say of Enfield Town Community Church, see how they love each other. See how they're willing even to die for each other. Wouldn't it be great if people in Enfield Town were talking like that? And actually, not just about Enfield Town, but wouldn't it be great if they're saying that just about Christians in Enfield? That would be a better thing, wouldn't it? Not just this church, but across all the churches. See how they love each other. see that they're willing to die for each other. Because that is one of the things that shows the world what Jesus is like. So, here we go. You've listened really well this morning. What is Jesus' command? Love one another. Church is a team sport. It's not just that you pay some people to love you, or we love because we lead a group or whatever. No, everyone's involved. Church is a team sport. It's a team game. So what is it? Love one another, which means to serve like Jesus. Why? Because it shows the world that we belong to Jesus. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, then thank you for coming this morning. It's great that you're here. But I do want to urge you this morning to let Jesus serve you, to let Jesus love you, to let Jesus wash away your stains of sin that keep you from being in a relationship with God. And then join us. Join us as part of the community that are learning to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Let me pray some of that in. Boys and girls, you've listened really well this morning, and then we'll sing a song to respond. Father, we want to say thank you this morning for the extraordinary love of our Lord Jesus Christ, a love that stooped so low to serve us, a love that laid down his life for us. Father, to love like him seems almost impossible, but we know that Jesus, what he calls us to do is what he will equip us and empower us to do. Help us this year to be an everyone in the game church. We want to truly love one another as Jesus has loved us. Father, even as we have coffee afterwards, even as we embark on this week, would you give us fresh opportunities to be able to love one another in those kind of ways? We want to sacrificially serve one another as Jesus has served us. And may Enfield Town say of Christians, not just in this church, but every Christian in Enfield, see how they love one another. To the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing a song, shall we, that I think is going to become a bit of an anthem for us.